Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
Chaco, one of the scientists who could lead us to the secret of the Death Ray, had been connected with a search for the lights that never go out. We learnt the mysterious story behind these lights, but before we could make any further move on this lead, Sir Giles Davenport's servant, Angelo, had apparently turned traitor. In turn, he'd contacted Helena Jansen, Hetty Fitzhenry, and the exotic French-Italian dancer, Faye Corelli, offering information on my true mission in South America. That information could wreck our plans. Angelo had to be located and silenced. But how to do this? Sir Giles was in a mood of despair.
As I say, Carson, my head is numb with the mental effort of trying to unravel it all.
Either Angelo's crazy, as I told Faye a few moments ago, or he's as treacherous as anyone I've encountered in all my undercover work.
The mere thought sickens me.
It's horrifying.
My trusted Angelo. 15 years of loyalty, Carson. Never once have I doubted him.
Howsoever, I pointed out how he came into your employ. You did catch him rifling your apartment.
He was starving, homeless.
Yes, you explained, sir, but we must face facts.
Yes, yes, we must.
Well, Faye's going to meet me at a cafe close by the White Tulip, place where she dances.
And you'd better get going, ma'am. You don't want to miss her. She may have the very clue that'll help us locate my lamented Angelo.
True, sir. Howsoever, I'll...
No need to ring for a taxi, old fellow. They stream past outside the apartments.
I know that, sir. Phoning Hetty.
Miss Fitzhenry?
Sir.
But why?
It seems that Angelo's playing one customer against another.
You mentioned that.
I'm checking.
Oh, to find out whether he's finalized anything with her yet.
That's the general idea.
She may not let on, though.
Well, we can try. What's the number? Yes.
That's her apartment you're phoning?
Sir.
Well, let's hope she's not out on her bird painting.
Rather early for the great Fitzhenry.
Hello?
Guess who?
Not the man I've just been dreaming about.
Oh, was I that lucky?
Brother, you don't know how lucky you were. I nearly had my painted fingernails onto you.
And just as well I broke up the sequence.
I can't land you, neither in real life nor in dreamland. But it's well hearing from you, honey.
Well, since last night, you've been on my mind.
Oh, then I am getting places. But why the call? Where lunching, maybe, or bird watching, huh?
I must arrange both later.
I figured there was something else behind all this. Come on, you son of a gun, give.
I've been wondering if you've heard from Angela.
I guessed it.
You see, Hetty, we're wondering what's happened to him.
Yes, he is acting rather strangely. You must be crazy with concern.
Oh, easy conscience, you know.
Yeah?
But you haven't heard from him, eh?
No.
Oh, well, if you do, tell him I'd like him to contact me.
Bruce, I've got an awful suspicion that he's unlikely to do that little thing.
How true.
But I don't mind handing over a few dollars or cruzeiros to find out what gives in the life of Bruce Staccato Carson. I warned you when I first met the goo that I was going to find out everything. Everything that I could about you. And that's the way you've stirred up the old Fitzhenry blood.
Yeah, but think what you do to the Carson pulse rate.
Oh, and think of what Man Friday's doing.
As a matter of fact, Hetty, it seems he's rather taken leave of his senses.
You're kidding.
Well, that's a fact.
Well, we'll find out. And just as soon as I do, I'll be in touch with you. It gives me no end of delight. I'm a real mischief maker at heart.
You're heartless. But back to your dreams.
Okay. But whether it's dreams or real life, I figure it's only a matter of time before I catch up with you. Bye, honey.
Cheers, Hetty. See you soon. Incredible creature.
The cool nerve of her.
So, making out it's all innocent fun.
Yes. With a death ray and the lives of innocent thousands at stake.
True, Sir Giles. Far from fun. Yeah, but I must be off to meet Faye.
Yes, yes, old fellow. And remember, she's a cool one, too, in spite of all her innocent fire.
It was hard to imagine Faye as anything but innocent as she tumbled out of the taxi, her expression soft, perhaps a little flustered at the rush, complaining that she must look awful. Anything but. Perhaps undercover men should be outright women-haters. Howsoever, we slipped into the cafe, selected a quiet corner, and settled down.
Oui, Monsieur Bruce. Coffee is plenty enough.
Oh, well, I thought you'd order more. You said no breakfast yet.
But coffee is all my breakfast.
Oh, no diet for growing girl.
I finished the growing, I hope. I have the figure to think about. I must keep it.
And how you keep it.
Ah, Monsieur Bruce, you say the sweet things to me.
You deserve them.
You care for me best of all, then?
How so, best of all?
Than all these other women you know.
All?
There is the one with the red hair and the silly name.
Oh, Hetty.
Oui. You do not see her, I hope.
Oh, perish thought.
And that one who is cold and fair, with the business of antiques. It suits her.
Oh, Helena Jensen.
Oui. She is not like me. So open, so warm. That is why I must tell you when the one you trust come to me.
Oh, yes. Angela.
He tried to betray you, Monsieur Bruce.
Not right in the head, I'm afraid.
You tell me over the telephone that perhaps he is turned crazy.
So?
But he not seem like that.
Not, eh?
Oh.
Why laugh?
The so, the not, eh?
Oh, that.
Oh, it is funny.
Oh, habit, that's all. Comes from having pipe in the mouth most times, I suppose.
Oh, you and your pipes, Monsieur Bruce. I buy you one that is especially lovely.
I've got quite a collection, you know.
I like to buy you one that has special charm, so that when you send up the puff of smoke, you begin to think of me. You think of me until you are crazy with it. Then you come to Blanca Tulipo Radin. And oh, how I dance.
The quite novel pipe, that. but to get back to Angela.
Oh, I was most upset, Monsieur Bruce. He waited for me outside Blanca Tulipa.
Huh? When was it?
Last night.
He made some odd suggestion that you buy some information about me.
Oui. First he asked if I want to know something of the most great interest about you. I tell him, of course, of course.
I can't imagine what that might be, you know.
You are a person of noble birth, like your elderly friend, perhaps?
Me? No. Just plain Carson.
But there is mystery behind you. Look at all the trouble that comes your way.
Look at the luck.
What luck is that?
You, my dear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, to press on, however. What arrangements did you make with Angelo?
I tell him that I have not the money.
How much was he asking?
Oh, I not get that proper. Because he said to meet him and talk it better.
Meet you?
You see, Monsieur Bruce, there is a girlfriend of mine with me at the time and...
Oh, yes.
I wonder what she thinks. Me talking to such a strange-looking person. So we arranged to meet today.
Where might that be?
In Rua de Ouvidor.
Any special time?
Noon, when the crowds are thick. But of course, if he's crazy like you say, perhaps I should not meet...
Oh, please help me, dear, but Angelo's up to no good.
That's what I think. That's why I get in touch with you.
And how grateful I am.
I'd do anything for you, Monsieur Bruce. Especially see that no trouble ever come to you. You believe me?
Of course I do. Oh, here's the coffee coming up. Not much breakfast, as I said, but must let you enjoy it in peace. Did I believe her? Those big dark eyes looked up into mine, and once again the feeling was upon me that I was an utter cad ever to suspect her. But then there were her very inconsistent stories of the past. The episode of the archery kit, not yet fully threshed out. Well, chap on undercover work is burdened with a heart. Anyway, we lingered a while in the cafe, then Faye went off with my usual promises to be at the cabaret to watch her dance. I took up a position in Rua de Ouvidor about noon. What I saw took me back in a hurry to Sir Giles.
Carson, you... You mean to say you saw him and didn't waylay him?
Oh, I couldn't waylay him, Sir Giles. He made off in the crowd. Spotted me, I think.
So he didn't keep the appointment with Mademoiselle Corelli?
No.
But what's this business about it possibly not being Angelo?
Well, from a distance, he looked the same, and yet...
And yet what, old man?
Well, for one thing, he wasn't dressed as Angelo was last time we saw him.
Dashed if I can recall exactly what he was wearing.
I make a point of remembering those things. He went out with tight coat, dark...
Yes, perhaps he did.
Today, he was wearing an old jacket.
Well, of course, he may have changed.
And changed his walk, too.
How do you mean?
Well, he didn't have the same carriage. More furtive, loping stride. Angelo always seemed a trifle arrogant in his walk to me.
Carson, are you possibly suggesting that...
That this fellow causing all trouble is not Angelo?
Man alive, I'd be delighted if that were so. Indeed, I would. All along, I found it hard to believe that my trusted old friend should be the type to turn so treacherously.
Of course, there's the matter of the phone call to Elena Jansen.
Yeah, of course. You were there.
No, that was Angelo, without a doubt.
Then it rather knocks the idea that there's some other fellow causing us this bother.
Still, sir, it adds another puzzling aspect to the situation.
Sir Giles, someone at the door, old chap.
Better see.
It's opening. Great heavens!
Angelo!
Look, Carson! Look what a state he's in!
Excellency!
Quick, he's falling!
I'll get him, sir.
Excellency, I...
Out to it, sir.
Carson! Look at him!
He's in a state, all right.
But he's wearing the coat.
So, let's get him to sofa. Bring him round. I think he might be able to clear up part of the mystery. And if he's a traitor, he's been through hell for it. The fellow's clothes were torn, his hands and face black and caked with dirt and blood. He seemed in an extremely serious condition. But we had to keep him alive to discover the truth about the sudden treachery in Operation Death Ray.